Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Ashley Lang broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk.
Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And we want to thank our co-sponsor today. That's Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And we also want to thank Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. But you don't even have to go there today, because we are going to be talking all about Piedmont Medical Center with our guest today, who is Nicole Hoffman. She is the new Piedmont Medical Center Director of Nutrition. So thank you so much for being here. I think this is a first time for you on Straight Talk, so we're excited to talk with you. First, just tell our listeners a little bit about Nicole, maybe some fun facts, and then we'll jump right into your very impressive resume.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140. Or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
All right, and welcome back into Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop, for again another edition of Straight Talk. This is presented to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Apologize for those technical difficulties that we had. I think we are all set. We are speaking with the new Piedmont Medical Center Director of Nutrition. Her name is Nicole Hoffman. So welcome, Nicole. Again, let's just go ahead and tell our listeners one more time a little bit about Nicole and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, we got you. We're good.
Great to be here, by the way. So I started my career as a dietitian.
Okay.
And I went to college, went to my internship, left my internship, and walked into a job at a VA hospital in Indiana. And loved my clinical role as a dietitian. But I was encouraged to do something else, and I ended up joining the Navy as a Navy dietitian. There's not that many in the world.
Well, I was about to say you don't really meet lots of people who say, "Yeah, I was in the military as a dietitian or a nutritionist."
Right.
So, I'm gonna kind of just ask another question. What does that look like as a dietary, advice giver for the military?
So ironically, it was almost like I gave up a piece of my career as a dietitian because as a naval officer, you're expected to do so much more. And so it was almost like having two careers at the same time. But I got further away from the clinical aspects and did more wellness nutrition, even sports nutrition, and then more in the realm of where I am now, which is a director of an entire department, which does include still the clinical nutrition piece, but also all of the food production and the culinary aspects.
Okay. So you're here at Piedmont Medical Center, and you are the director of nutrition, but I've also heard you use dietitian. Is there a difference in those two terms, and what exactly does it mean to be a nutritionist or
a
dietitian?
Yes. So sometime in the past, nutritionist was more of like the generic term, and dietitian was the clinical term, which kind of inferred that was like the licensed practitioner.
Okay.
We have since changed the official name to dietitian nutritionist for the licensed practitioner. Because a lot of people can give a nutrition advice without any certification.
Okay.
And so they can call themselves nutritionists. Mm. But to be a dietitian, it's really just short for registered dietitian.
Okay.
We have a specific schooling and requirements after school, an internship, and board exam to become a registered dietitian.
So in between, I know that you said you worked kind of as an internship and then at a VA facility.
Yes.
So what did your jump look like going from that role to say, hey, I want to actually serve in the military to get to where you are now, where I'm assuming you're credentialed and have all the certifications? What does that schooling look like, or what did that look like making that jump?
The jump was so wild because when I joined the Navy, it was pre-9/11. And as a dietitian in a veterans hospital, the veteran profile was very different than it is today. So I was dealing with a very elderly clientele, and there wasn't as many veterans seeking treatment at that time just because of the timing. Like World War II veterans were less prevalent at the time. But then, literally a few months after I joined the Navy, was when 9/11 happened. So my whole Navy career was sort of based around the events of 9/11.
Okay. Yeah. Which was... that's a scary time.
And so then since then, the military has, ramped up, there's just so many more veterans now that are of a younger generation, and a lot more female veterans as well.
Yeah. So you actually served for about 30 years, is that
correct? No, I served for only 12 years.
Oh, 12 years.
Yes.
Okay. And now you made the switch to... be a civilian, I guess, in the real world with a hospital. So how does it look now to be a nutritionist within a hospital, and how is that different from what you did before?
The main difference is the uniform.
Okay.
I think the role it does not change that much. I'm still overseeing large departments of people that are serving the patients clinically and also in the culinary aspects as well. And so it's a lot of moving pieces all the time. You're managing people, you're managing processes, you're developing menus. It's just a very busy day every day, and you never know what is going to land on your plate.
Right. Well, and I will, I get it, because I will say, when I saw that you were coming, you know, when we think of Piedmont Medical Center, or we think of a hospital in general, we think of doctors and nurses and trauma, you know, we think of the ER, we think of going to have a baby. We don't really think of food. And so what does a typical day look like, and how do you make sure that every patient at Piedmont Medical Center is getting what they need when they need it, and who makes those decisions?
It's a lot of people. Yeah, it's a big collaboration. And it's collaboration between dietitians, doctors, and nurses, determining what the patient needs based on their diagnoses and, you know, whatever conditions are going on in their body at the time. So that starts at the beginning of their stay, you know, determining what kind of diet they should be on. But from, say, the standpoint of my team, that day starts at 4:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's about when ours starts. I mean, I
start preparing breakfast at that time, and we finish up at almost 8 o'clock at night. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, among other things, you know, that we do.
How big is your team at Piedmont Medical Center?
It's just a little over 30 people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is both campuses?
This is just Rock Hill. And then
okay.
at Fort Mill, we have another about 15 over at 15 people.
So how many different menus do you have to have? Or is this like a menu that you can walk in and give the patient and say, here you go, you get to choose? Or are there some patients, unfortunately, that might not get to choose? It's already chosen for them. So what does that makeup look
like? So we do have a preset menu, and it is offered to everybody, regardless of their diagnosis. Mm-hmm. They may not be able to get certain aspects of a meal being offered based on that diagnosis and the diet that coincides. But we do have a new menu that we launched about 2 months ago.
Okay.
And it was very exciting to roll it out, because one, it was so good, to be honest with you.
So how did it change? How is it different?
It has some regional favorites.
Okay.
And it has just an, I think, elevated menu selection of items. But we still have our traditional comfort foods. Mm-hmm. We have the meatloaf. We have the turkey. We have now shrimp and grits.
Oh.
And a beef burgundy.
Okay.
We have pork carnitas.
Sounds a little fancy.
Yeah.
So. Oh, and it looks good too. Renee, being the good PR person that she is showing me pictures. I mean, it really does. It looks delicious. And that's another thing we hear. We're like, hospital food. Like, so what would you want to tell people about, you know, whether you're having to eat it because there's a loved one who's eating it, or whether you are a patient, what kind of would you want to say to combat the whole, it's hospital food?
Well, so one, it is food that is overseen by an executive chef. So we actually have two chefs.
Okay.
And, you know, not every restaurant in town has chefs even, and we have chefs overseeing the food. The food is made daily from scratch. So we don't use any, like, pre-made frozen items, anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's all freshly made daily.
Okay.
And we use quality ingredients. And I'd say the most important thing about the food that we provide is it's made with love.
Mm.
There's a lot of pride that goes into the making of our food. And I think as somebody that prepares food for friends and family, when you put that love into the food, it makes a huge difference in the outcome.
Right. And, you know, you're dealing with people who are not maybe at their best all the time. And
absolutely,
so for them
right.
to be able to see that and have that meal, I mean, that truly does mean something, right?
Yes. And so I would say the meal service aspect of a patient stay in the hospital is one, probably the one thing they get to look forward to while they're there.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, things
testing
being, and, like right and, the test and
yes,
the
and going in and out
and the prize
right.
and the
right
sleepless nights and people in and out of the room all the time, but
yeah.
But the meal service is, you know, the one thing they get to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just food for medicine, because food is a form of medicine. It's also an emotional medicine, right? Like, people need food as a form of comfort, and especially when they're in the hospital.
Absolutely. About how many patients does Piedmont Medical Center have on any given day? So how many meals, I guess, is what I'm asking, are prepared daily on average? I know that it's probably not always the same.
It's probably close to 500 meals a day just for the patients. We generally serve about 140 to 150 meals per meal.
Okay.
Not everybody gets to eat every meal every time because they have things going on, but yeah, we're serving close to 500 in just the patients' meals.
And then you're also dealing with all different ages, I would assume, too. So you could have children, you could have teenagers, all the way up until.
Yes.
How does it change for any of that? What does that
not
look like?
Not too much, but we can offer some alternatives if the menu isn't meeting that person's needs, or if they don't like it, or they may have a food allergy, then we would make them something else.
Are there, I guess, different for whatever you're in for? So a patient might be in for heart issues, or a patient might be in who's a diabetic.
Exactly.
Somebody might be in there having a baby. Are there kind of like different tracks of, yes, okay, these people can have this versus this, and how does that all get dispersed out?
Yes, that's exactly right. So it's one menu for everybody,
okay,
but there are some variations we have to make for those different disease states. So sometimes if they're getting, I'll just look at the menu here, like I know on the shrimp and grits.
Okay.
We actually have an andouille sausage in the recipe. And so some people might not get the shrimp and grits with the andouille.
Okay.
And some will, based on.
So you're still getting the bulk of the good.
Yes.
Maybe just not the little extra.
Right. Right. We just modify it a little bit. But really, we try to incorporate a menu that fits everybody's needs. And again, like I said, in the hospital, we want people to eat.
Right.
We don't want them
to
be restricted in any way. They're already feeling lousy and they might not have a good appetite.
Right.
So.
Well, and that kind of brings me to my next question. You kind of touched on this earlier, but food is a medicine in itself. I mean, we all need food to be able to survive. So what would you say kind of what kind of tips or tricks, and we kind of talked about this too, you know, we don't wake up every day saying, hey, we're going to go to Piedmont Medical Center today. Like, that's not on anyone's bingo card.
Right.
I mean, most people, I wouldn't think.
Unless you work there.
Right, unless you work there. So what could we do just as consumers to make sure that we don't have to maybe have a hospital stay? How important is food to battling that, and how has that changed over the past couple of years?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I would say, in general, one of the best ways to combat disease that has a nutritional implication is really just eating in moderation. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but
yeah,
it is really about not overeating, keeping your weight in check, And even if you're someone that really enjoys eating, I would say just don't eat so much at one time, because there's only so much food that your body can process in any given period of time. And so one of the best ways to keep your weight in check and blood sugars in check and things like that is still eat what you like, but eat smaller amounts, and then maybe just eat a little bit more frequently if necessary, if you feel like you're still hungry.
So like for Thanksgiving meal, for say, just put a little bit on your plate, and when it's done, it's done. Don't
exactly.
go back for seconds.
Well, you can go back for seconds, but like okay. give it a few hours.
In moderation.
Like let your body do its process, which is, you know, your liver has to process all the food, and so does your kidneys. So that takes some time, and when you overload your organs, then that's when the disease starts occurring. Things
right.
start accumulating, and blood sugars go up. And
so have you seen that over the past couple of years with the way that we do consume food? Especially, you know, we do get a bad rap. We live in the South. We do love food. We love shrimp and grits, and we love all right. everything fried, and we love mayonnaise.
Well,
and
it is
sour
not
cream.
Just the South, it's everywhere. But yeah, there is a higher prevalence of fatty liver, in which was once associated with heavy alcohol intake, but it is not so much an alcoholic intake issue anymore. It's just an overconsumption issue, and it's occurring in all ages.
And then would you encourage people to eat more natural food, organic food, not so much processed? I feel like, you know, we all work, and, I'm a mom of two, guilty. I am probably in a drive-thru with all the schedules once or twice a week. We do, when we eat at home, sometimes it's processed. So mm-hmm. what kind of advice or encouragement would you give to people, especially in that stage of life, that are kind of battling time as well?
It is a struggle. So I wouldn't say, you know, cold turkey, you shouldn't do it, because that isn't being realistic, right? So I would say you'd have to balance it. And when you have that additional time, maybe it's the weekend, or maybe it's the preparing things on the weekend for the week, having some less processed food, and also just making it a habit to carry the healthy whole foods with you. I mean, fruit is the most perfect snack in the world, right? Like, it's portable, it's low calorie.
And it's a little sweet for people who
need sweet.
Yeah, it's
sweet. It fills you up. It's got a high water content, so even if you're not getting enough fluids in, you can get that fluid from your fruit. So those are, like, things that it should just be in the habit. I actually carry an apple in my bag. Like,
okay.
every day I have an apple in my bag.
Okay.
And
so an apple a day does keep the doctor away?
It absolutely does. It really does. And I eat it, like, when I'm in the car driving home. And then by the time I walk in the door, I'm not starving and going, oh, man, I just want to put everything in my mouth.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Because I've had that apple, which sort of helps sustain the appetite.
So would you suggest too, like, more frequent smaller meals throughout
mm-hmm.
the day versus breakfast, lunch, dinner, from your perspective?
It kind of depends on your schedule, but I'd say, yes, you want to get your calories in during the day and not at night.
Okay. What does your interaction or your team's interaction look like with the patients as they're getting ready to go home? So maybe they've been with you for a week or so. You've been able to really... And they've talked to their care team. They've
mm-hmm.
talked to their doctors and their nurses about their condition. Say they're in for a heart. They've had a heart attack, or, you know, they're going to have to change some things. And I'm assuming that you kind of walk alongside them while they're there. But then what are those conversations like as you're getting ready to, you know, kind of send them on their way so we don't see you back?
Well, it is part of the clinical dietitian's role to educate the patients on their diet, and whether it's new to them or maybe they just weren't following it, but it's always part of the process, as a part of the admission process.
So you get to, like, kind of sit down with them or their family and
yes.
say, okay, this is kind of what we did here. Maybe cut out this and this versus...
Right. And it's always individualized, because you can just lay it out and be like, no, you can't have any of this, but this is what you should be eating. But that's not realistic, right? You have to kind of go on, what were you doing and where can we tweak this so you can make small changes over time?
So is that, do you go in and get to do that with every patient, team that gets
no,
to do that?
I have a team, yes. Okay. I have a team of dietitians.
So what does a day look like for you, Nicole, when you walk into Piedmont Medical Center? What's like, what does, kind of walk us through from 8 to 5,
oh my
maybe,
goodness.
Or what you're experiencing?
You know, it, like I said, every day is so different. You can have a plan in mind that you're going to do this, and this, and then everything changes. But bottom line is there's 3 meals a day being served to patients. My role is making sure all of my staff have what they need so they can do their job, whether it's their schedule or they need, recipes printed off or whatever. I mean, I'm always in about 100 different directions.
And what about where the food ingredients come from? That's mm-hmm. something, too, that we've never really thought about. Like, that's a lot of food. I mean, you're preparing 500 meals a day. So what do those partnerships look like? Where does it all come from? I mean, you're not just, like, hitting up the Publix.
No, yeah, we do have some local vendors for things like dairy and fruit, and then we have some bigger name vendors. You see their trucks driving all around mm-hmm. town. We have mm-hmm. Sysco is one of our vendors, okay. So they provide the bulk of our food. We have so many vendors. I mean, there's a bakery vendor,
okay.
there's a ice cream vendor.
Okay. So you're overseeing
Pepsi vendor.
So you're not only overseeing what the meals are going to look like in your team, but you have to oversee all of that.
Right.
As
the
well.
Ordering and planning and receiving, and
it's a lot.
Paying for it all.
that is a lot. That, and that's probably most important.
Right.
Well,
pay
with
bills,
we are kind of, and I kind of touched on this. I'm a mom. I know Renee here is a mom too,
mm-hmm.
and we are hitting that back to school season.
Mm-hmm.
From a licensed nutritionist, what do we need to be looking for? What are some things we can do as families sending our kids back to school?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what we touched on earlier. Making sure you have those healthy snacks available, especially, you know, with the kiddos, as soon as their blood sugar starts dropping, you know, I'm sure you feel the tension and the hangriness. And snacks are great for kids. There's no reason why kids can't have snacks, but there needs to be a balance between, you know, either like a processed item and your whole...
An apple.
Yeah. The apples or I'm trying to think of some nuts are
okay.
a really healthy snack,
okay.
and they'll help sustain the appetite and the blood sugars.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, Nicole, that went by really quick. I always tell my guests it goes by really fast. So thank you again for being here.
Oh,
thank you again
you.
For your service in the military as well. We always like to make sure our veterans know that we appreciate all that they do.
Thank
you for what you're doing to help Rock Hill and Piedmont Medical Center. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
That would be great.
And that is a great way to end the program. I want to thank you again for being here. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And one more time, we want to tell everybody what we do here at Substation 2. And it's right here on this T-shirt. On the count of three, we want everybody to say it with us. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.